Take your Bibles and turn to Proverbs chapter 31. Originally, I thought that we were going to be in Matthew chapter 5 and continue to work through Matthew and work through the Sermon on the Mount, but the Lord led me to Proverbs chapter 31. And of course, I don't have to tell you it's Mother's Day. That's the main reason that I'm in this text, that we're in this text this morning. We want to look at Proverbs 31, verses 10 to 31. The woman of noble character, the woman who fears the Lord. Now, as you're turning there, let me just say a few words on Proverbs. We haven't been working through Proverbs like we have been working through Matthew. But Proverbs are simply short sayings that teach knowledge and wisdom. That's my definition of a proverb. We could come up with more technical definitions. But there are 31 chapters in the book of Proverbs. This is the last chapter, of course. And that means if you read one chapter per day, you'll make it through all the Proverbs in approximately a month. I remember years ago hearing that Billy Graham read one proverb a day, or one chapter in the Proverbs per day, and five chapters in the Psalms. That's what he did every month. And of course, if you do that, by the end of just one year, you're going to know the Proverbs. You're going to know the Psalms. And I thought that was kind of a neat thing to do, so I started doing that. I haven't done that in a long time, but it was kind of neat when I was doing that. You just read one chapter a day, and you'll make it through the book in a month. But Proverbs have to do with practical wisdom for living. This is all about living in the fear of the Lord. How do we conduct ourselves as Christians? And it says in Proverbs 1:7 that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. It's the beginning of wisdom. And that's kind of the main theme of this book. It starts that way, and we'll see today that it ends that way. Most of the book was written by King Solomon. Not all of it, but most of it. And today we're going to see, at the very back of the book, we're going to see that this has to do with women. It has to do with the woman of noble character, the godly woman, the woman who fears the Lord. So let's take a look at this passage, Proverbs 31, starting at verse 10. An excellent wife, who can find? She's more precious, she is far more precious than jewels. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not harm all the days of her life. She seeks wool and flax and works with willing hands. She is like the ships of the merchant. She brings her food from afar. She rises while it is yet night. She provides food for her household and portions for her maidens. She considers a field and buys it. With the fruit of her hands, she plants a vineyard. She dresses herself with strength and makes her arms strong. She perceives that her merchandise is profitable. Her lamp does not go out at night. She puts her hands to the distaff, and her hands hold the spindle. She opens her hand to the poor and reaches out her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of snow for her household, for all her household are clothed in scarlet. She makes bed coverings for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them. She delivers sashes to the merchant. Strength and dignity are her clothing, and she laughs at the time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. She looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many women have done excellently, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her the fruit of her hands, and let her works praise her in the gates. Great God in heaven, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you have revealed yourself to us, that you have given us your light. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. And Father, we just pray that as we take a deeper look into your word, into this passage, that you would give us understanding, that you would give us illumination. And Father, we pray that you would be glorified, that you would build your church. Amen. Well, just to say a few more words on this passage, at least contextually, this passage is an acrostic. What is that? Well, it's simply where you have each verse begin, where each verse begins with a successive letter in the Hebrew alphabet. And in the Hebrew alphabet, there are 22 letters. We have 26, they have 22. And so each verse, all 22 of them, begin. So just to kind of transfer it, if it would be like us starting with A and then B and then C all the way through the alphabet. That's how it works, except it's the Hebrew alphabet. And this is also done in Psalm chapter 119. It's also done in the book of Lamentations, where I think it's four out of the five chapters are constructed this way. They're organized that way. It's very poetic. That's kind of the idea here. And as you read through this chapter, or at least this passage, the better part of chapter 31, it doesn't take a genius to notice that this woman is pretty impressive. So much so that it has the potential of being depressing for even godly women to read. That is, until its purpose is understood. Listen to what one commentator has to say about this passage. He writes, "The woman embodies in all areas of life, the full character of wisdom commended throughout this book of Proverbs. This shows that even though the concrete situations up to now have generally envisioned a caste of males, the teaching of the entire book is intended for all of God's people. Secondly, as with other character types, this profile is an ideal, a particular example of full-scale virtue and wisdom toward which the faithful are willing to be modeled. It's not expected that any one woman will look exactly like this in every respect." So ladies, as we look at this, don't get discouraged. Don't say, "Oh, that's not me." This woman is really wisdom embodied or personified. She is the ideal woman. And so as you listen to this message, this sermon, learn what you can. Take away what you can. As Christians, we constantly look to perfection. At least we should. Over and over again in Scripture, we're told to imitate Christ, to look to Him as our example. He's the model. He's the standard. And of course, we know that He's perfect. We strive to be like our Lord and Savior, but we know that we'll never fully attain to perfection this side of heaven. It says in Matthew 5:48, right there in the middle of the Sermon on the Mount, "You therefore must be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect." And another way of reading that would be to say, you must be mature, you must be complete in the Lord. And as we read that, we know that that doesn't mean, well, we're never going to attain to perfection, so we don't have to strive for perfection. That's not the way it's meant to be read. We strive for holiness. We strive for godliness as Christians. Let me just say one more thing before we start into verse 10. This is the start of chapter 31. Chapter 31, starting at verse 1, reading down to verse 3. "The words of King Lemuel, an oracle that his mother taught him. What are you doing, my son? What are you doing, son of my womb? What are you doing, son of my vows? Do not give your strength to women, your ways to those who destroy kings. Now, King Lemuel, by the way, we don't know a whole lot about him. Some think that this is simply Solomon, who, as I said, he wrote most of the Proverbs. But here we see that King Lemuel is simply passing along the words that his mother taught him. As he sat at the feet of his mother and listened and learned, now he is passing that along. And notice how she warns him there in verse 3 against immoral women. And this is a big theme in Proverbs. If you go to chapters 3 to 5, you see that. There's a whole lot that has to do with the immoral woman, the loose woman. And of course, that type of woman has led many a man astray. But the context of our passage tells us that King Lemuel, through the influence of his mother, is showing us, the readers, the woman of noble character, the godly woman, the excellent woman, the woman who fears the Lord. Now, I want to look at our passage from three different angles. I want to look at it from the woman who fears the Lord in relation to, first off, her husband, secondly, her children, and then thirdly, the poor and needy. So first off, her husband. We read in verse 10, an excellent wife, who can find? In other words, they're rare. They're not a dime a dozen. Solomon, or King Lemuel, goes so far as to say, she is more precious than jewels. She's more precious than rubies. In other words, she can't be replaced. She's of great value. There's really nothing in this world that compares to her. Now, while it's hard to find an excellent wife, it's not impossible. And all the men in the audience here, you say amen to that. But if you go back to Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 22, it says this: he who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. Again, all the men can say amen. He who finds a wife finds a good thing. And then chapter 12 and verse 4, there's a contrast here. An excellent wife is the crown of her husband, but she who brings shame is like rottenness in his bones. Or as it puts it elsewhere in the Proverbs, she's like a constant dripping. You know, it's kind of annoying. And we could look at a lot of the Proverbs, and we're not going to do that. But an excellent wife is the crown of her husband. A huge blessing. And we'll talk more about that in a minute. Going back to our passage in verse 11, it says, the heart of her husband trusts in her. Now just imagine for a moment a relationship, a marriage relationship, where you didn't trust your spouse. It would be horrible. You know, this is marriage, of course, is the relationship in this world that's the closest, it's the most intimate. But can you imagine if you didn't trust your spouse? In reality, that's the case for many marriages, for many people in this world. But for the husband who has found a good wife, you always know it because he trusts her. And that's the foundation of a good marriage, it is trust. There has to be that component of trust. And we see here that he allows her to take over the management of the household. It continues, and he will have no lack of gain. She's just such an enormous blessing to her husband. She does him good and not harm all the days of their lives. So what's being said here is that she makes it her constant business to do him good. She wants to please him. She wants to serve him. She wants to be his helpmate. Therefore, he is blessed in amazing ways. She's a gift of God to him. We learn something of the husband here. In verse 23, it says, her husband is known in the gates, in the city gates, where he sits among the elders. In other words, he is prominent. He's well known. He has a high position. And we might ask, how did he get there? Why is he successful? And of course, it's never wise to attribute success to just one thing, because when you look at a successful person, their success is due to a number of different factors. And so it's never wise to say just one thing, but there's no question that a big part of his success, a huge part of his success, is his wife. And you've heard the saying, of course, behind every good man is what? A good woman. And it's true. You look at great men down through history, great Christian leaders, people that we would look up to, and behind that good man, that godly man, was a good and godly woman. So wives, you need to understand that you are powerful people. You have a tremendous amount of influence on your husbands. And let me just encourage you to use that influence for good. How many of you have ever seen the movie My Big Fat Greek Wedding? Few of you? Yeah, that probably dates back to the early 2000s. A pretty good movie. I've watched it a few times. But there's a great quote in there, and Stephanie and I, we kind of joke about this all the time, but there's, I couldn't even really remember the context of it, but here's how it goes. The one Greek woman says to the other, the husband is the head of the house, but the wife is the neck. And she can turn the head any way she likes. Verse 28, I won't read it. It just says that her husband praises her. And husbands, we need to be praising and we need to be thanking our wives on a daily basis for all that they are, for all that they bring to us and to our family. They are of infinite value. They really are. They're indispensable. And we need to communicate to them on a daily basis. Now, we can't just think, oh, they know that. They know how I feel. We need to tell them. We need to let them know just how much we appreciate them. And so, wives, let me just encourage you, seek to be a blessing to your husbands. Seek after their prosperity. And husbands, praise your wives. Tell them how much you love them. And not just on Mother's Day, not just on your anniversary and their birthday and that kind of thing. Tell them every day how much you love them. And pray for them. Point them to Christ any way you can. You are the head of the house, the head of the home. You're the spiritual leader, and that means you have a responsibility. So pray for them, point them to Christ, lead them well. Let's take a look at number two. We've looked at the woman who fears the Lord in relation to her husband. Let's talk about the woman who fears the Lord in relationship to her children or to her household. As you know, today is Mother's Day, and well, not all of us are mothers. We've all had mothers, and we all have mothers. And no doubt we've had different experiences in this regard. We've all had different relationships with our mothers. And for some of you, that wasn't necessarily positive. But I think it would be safe to say that all of our mothers have had a huge impact upon our lives. After all, we wouldn't be here if it wasn't for our mothers. But let's talk about the woman who fears the Lord in relation to her children. Take a look at verse 15. It says, she rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household and portions for her maidens. So we see here that she provides food. In other words, she's providing those basic necessities of life. And this is one of her chief concerns. She knows that if her family is going to thrive, if her husband, her children, and it mentions maidens in there, so we could say servants, if they're going to thrive, then obviously they need food. They need good, nutritious food. Now, back in Old Testament times, mothers couldn't just throw junk on the table and say, well, here, eat this. They actually had to work to prepare meals. They didn't have microwaves. They didn't have TV dinners. They didn't have fast food. They didn't have junk food like we have today. And so it was a lot of work. But it was essential for the health of the family. And we see here that was one of her concerns. Secondly, she provided clothing. Look at verse 21. It says, she's not afraid of snow for her household, for all of her household are clothed in scarlet. Now, what's interesting here is that the woman who fears the Lord, she wants to provide not just any old clothing. You know, she doesn't want them clothed in rags. She wants them to be warm in winter. She wants the best for them. She wants them to be comfortable in summer. She wants them to look nice. And it's pretty clear here that this is a well-to-do family. So this is a rich family. And you see that, the prominent position that the husband holds. They're clothed in scarlet and purple, that kind of thing. But she wants the best for them. I think that's the takeaway. That's the idea. In verse 27, this is affirmed. It says, she looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. As we read in the New Testament, she's making the best use of the time. She knows that the days are evil. That's, I think, Ephesians chapter 4. It's also interesting, this is not in the passage, but I think you could read that into the passage. There's nothing that would indicate that while she slaved away, that her children did nothing. She would have kept them busy. I think we can read that into the text. She was obviously very industrious. She was a prudent manager. And so because of that, I'm sure that she kept the children busy. She'd know how to delegate. She'd know how to teach and train her children, because if they're going to thrive, then she has to pass along this knowledge, this understanding. And verse 28 is just such a wonderful compliment. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Friends, often we don't realize how good we have it until later on. Isn't that the case? When we're growing up, you know, we appreciate mom, we love mom, but we don't realize how good we have it until later on when we're parents ourselves. It's not until older that we realize just how fortunate we were. So children, and it doesn't matter what age you are, be sure and thank your mom. Thank your mother on Mother's Day. Give her a call. Tell her how much you love her and appreciate her.